We're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. I am Tim. That is Ferris.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us this evening. 3 weeks in a row, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we finally got a goddamn schedule, so
right.
That makes a makes a difference, because then you can kind of, you know, not be wishy-washy.
Right.
And be held accountable.
Right. You know. But, so, anyway, we got a few topics going on. It's just me and him today. We tried to get a guest, but things, you know, real life gets in the way a lot. So, especially doing this on a Thursday night, people got work and stuff. But
I asked Dylan, I asked Drew, they both couldn't come on. So
it's because Drew's a loser.
And he's a fucking piece of shit who needs to die.
I do not agree with that, Drew. I just want you to know.
I mean, you don't have to agree with anything. It's just a fucking fact.
But he is a loser. Anyways, so, Ferris, how was your weekend?
It was good, but it's going to be a lot better if you speak in the goddamn mic.
I am speaking in the fucking mic. Goddamn, okay. What do you want here?
Position it to where you'd be comfortable.
Can you fucking hear me better now?
Yeah.
Goddamn, motherfucker.
Well, I mean, I am not the best producer in the world, but I try to be.
Hey, speaking to the fucking mic.
A producer. I was pushing the screen so I could see what's going on. Because I have to watch this while. Yeah. So.
What did you do this weekend, Ferris?
This weekend. Well, first of all, what did you do this weekend?
What did I do this week? I ended up at the local pub.
Okay.
For our friend's birthday, and another one of my friend's bands was playing.
How was the band?
It was cool. Good time. A lot of cover songs, rock songs. I had a good time. You know, drank a few beers.
What's the name of the band? Do you know?
Howling Wolf. No. Why not? That's not right. Nicotine Howe. Excuse me.
Where did Howling Wolf come from? You've been on like Native American.
That is the name of a bar down south. I don't know why. Mainly because that popped up on Facebook, and that's what it made me. Nicotine Howe.
Did Native Americans have normal names for anything, or was everything like some kind of animal doing something, or some kind like a? It had to do with a river or an animal or some kind of thing in nature. There's no one named Bob. You know, there's no name Bob in any language. It always means something.
In fairness, I don't know jack shit about Native American history other than, hey man, we threw some blankets at them and then we forced them off their land. So, sucks to be them.
Well, they should have social distanced.
Should have. Should have worn some masks.
Worn a mask and social. Yeah. I'm sure that won't piss somebody off. Let's be honest. The ones who are listening do not care. They're probably laughing at that.
Yeah.
Yes, Jay, we are live.
Just not on anything you can see.
There's nothing you can see.
Unless we want to turn live on Facebook real quick.
You can't see. He doesn't have Facebook.
That is true. I forgot about that. I would say, you know, that would probably make him a happier person, but I've met Jay. And I've been around.
He'll see more things that will piss him off.
I do think there are a lot of fucking people, though, that just actively go out of the way to find shit that pisses them off. It's like, man.
I've done it before. I've been that guy before.
I mean,
does it all the time, but we joke about it sometimes with him.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would just want to hear him rant because it makes me laugh.
They are funny. Sometimes I just want to be like, Jay, it's not that fucking serious. Ain't nobody mad about this but you.
There may be some more people mad.
I'm sure there are, but Jay, ask yourself this. Can you control what happens in that situation? And if the answer is no, don't get mad about it. The universe is what it is.
Hopefully a meteor will hit the Earth soon. We have to be done with this shit.
We can only hope. I'm still betting the Terminator future happens before anything, though. There's just no way. We're making fucking almost exact replica sex robots. You think the motherfuckers ain't going to turn on us at one point? You're going to have a robot being interviewed in an interrogation room. He told me to choke him, officer. I didn't know that when his face turned purple, he was dying. He didn't say a safe word. It's going to start. I guarantee you when the Terminator, if, you know, 1,000 years after the Terminator apocalypse, it's going to start with a fucking sex robot.
They don't have to kill us. They just have to. You can think about it. They can put you in a simulation and give you anything that you want. You can eat whatever you want. You can have sex with whoever you want. You can do whatever you want. There's no need for them to kill you unless they just really want to kill you.
What if the Matrix is real? By the way, if the Matrix is real, I'm going to be super fucking pissed that somebody predicted that. I'm going to be 33, still living with my mom, having to start my life over again. Like, that's super fucking shitty.
Well, that's kind of an asshole. Like, whoever's an admin in your simulation is kind of a prick.
I don't think that's real. I think there's just, it's just all, it's, what's the line in the Constantine movie? It's just all, God's a child with a fire, or, you know, fucking with fire. I don't know, but.
He's burning ants with a magnifying glass.
There's just no way there's order to this. There's no way.
That's a little harder than you think, burning an ant with a magnifying glass. I'm not saying I've done it before, but I'm not saying I haven't either. So, a little more difficult than you think. All right, so Tim went to a local pub, listened to a band, drank a little bit. I and a friend of ours, a friend of the podcast, decided to take a mushroom trip. so we may have eaten 4 grams. Mind you, okay, little perspective here. A new person should probably only eat like 2, at maximum, 2.5. Maybe 2.5 probably a max dose for a new person. No more. It's been over 5 years since I've done mushrooms. So, stomach-wise, everything else-wise, I'm a novice. I'm back to being new, right? You lose your... you can get tolerance to psilocybin, right? So, I was brand new. So, me and my friend... let's drop his name. We were like, well, how much do you want to take? So, at first, we took 3. We had 12 grams in the whole bag. Okay? Well, by the end of the night, we had eaten all of it. Now, if we had eaten half, like me and he ate half and I ate half on an empty stomach, I think that's 6 grams. What they call a heroic dose is five grams. That basically means you get like really fractally, like it's your reality is starting to like change.
Yeah, it legit changes your brain.
It changes like, you're going to come back to baseline. Most people aren't, it's not going to kill you. Mushrooms are one of the safest drugs that there are. But you're going to wish that you were dead because it's not like weed. It's not like weed at all. It is, weed, if you take an edible, especially an edible, and you really take a high dose, it can put you on the couch for a while. Like, you're not moving. Like, you literally can't do anything. It takes you about 30 minutes to make make a concerted effort to get up and use the bathroom or anything like that. You know, you're pondering over it for too long. It's like, should I get up? What if, you're questioning why you're getting up in front of everybody. Mushrooms not like that. It's very much, it kind of starts off with, like, you eat it, which they don't taste necessarily bad. It's not a bad taste, but the problem with when you eat them is that they don't taste like anything, which is kind of worse than if it just tasted horrible. I know it doesn't make any sense, but think about if you ate that piece of paper. Have you ever chewed on a piece of paper before?
Man, it's been about 30 years, yeah. But I'm sure it's happened.
It's just, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. So it's just, you will gag because you're just like, it doesn't taste like anything. It's just like styrofoam. It does not taste good. But I mean, the idea is you're not supposed to sit there and just, eating it like candy, which I'll get to that in a second. You're supposed to just chew it up, swallow it, live the consequences afterwards. So a heroic dose is 5 grams. But that's taking it, empty stomach. Technically, you're supposed to be by yourself. At one time, 5 grams one time, and that is your reality changes. Like the way you see things, you start things start breaking apart. Like, it's hard to explain, but you're not seeing like ghosts and stuff. That's not what it is. It's if you get on YouTube, not YouTube, maybe YouTube or just the internet, and you look up like trippy images. You've seen pictures that looks like they're moving.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. The only difference is when you take a little bit versus a lot, when you finally take enough, you start getting that, like, things start moving in and out, and pictures start moving a little bit. But when you take a lot, it gets even more intense. And then you get really introspective, and you get really, like, you start questioning a lot of the things that you do. Like, you start, like, you get really, like, happy, you get euphoric, and then you get really caring, like, about people. Like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that, or, you know, I should look at it from this guy's point of view. You know, imagine if I judge people the way, or people judge me the way I'm judging people. You get like that a lot. And, you know, you like I said, you laugh, you giggle, things are funny. You can kind of, same with weed, how you kind of like notice like maybe things in movies that don't make sense, or like something's taking too long to say, or like what we were talking about, like, why is Morpheus speaking in riddles? Why can't he just speak normally? Just tell the truth so we can move on with the plot. But, you know, he's like, the path, and you got to take the, you know, you got to walk the path. You can't just know the path, you know, it's like, can you just say that at the beginning so we don't have to have this intense standoff with three agents that are not human? They're like a computer program. Can we do that? Anyways, we took probably six over was a 10-hour span. Now that I think about it, we said that we're going to take five at one time, which we probably will regret doing that. Let's see. Hold on 1 second. I can't.
I just know when I showed up about 1:30, y'all were still pretty high. And y'all looked like y'all had like morphed into the couch.
Did we? You know, honestly,
for sure did. You were a little different because like when I got here and I sat on y'all's couch, you, like, got up and, like, put a blanket on me. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, you look cold. Like I said, you get really, like, man, it's pretty cool, chilly in here. And I see him with his arms crossed. I think it'd be nice to get him a cover. Let him, you know, here's a pillow if you need it. So you look at us and tell.
I knew y'all were fucked up, but if I didn't know what y'all were on, I wouldn't know what y'all were on.
You wouldn't know?
No.
What were we doing?
Y'all were just, I mean... Y'all were really just hanging out on the couch, but y'all kept watching the set, like watching like a lot of Tool videos and a lot of trippy videos that, you know, only people watch when they're stoned.
Right.
So it was like that in the way y'all were talking. It was kind of almost in the same riddled way. I was like, okay, I gotta go.
What do you mean? Expand upon it.
I can't really give you an example. It's just I could tell y'all were fucked up. Because also, like, your face was, like, I want to say, I don't know if bright would be the bright word, but you were like, eh.
Like, happy?
Yeah. Happy. And so was he, so I was like, and like I said, you know, when you came and put the blanket on me, I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Man, you look cold. Give it a break.
Well, thank you.
But like I said, I got really, like, we kept talking about, like, looking at things, people's point of view, like, in the Matrix, like, there's a part where Morpheus is, like, sweating. Like, he's in an interrogation room, and he's just sweating bullets. And we're making fun of him for sweating. And then we were like, well, let's really break this down. One, he just went through a high-pressure situation. He got his ass whooped. He got the shit beat out of him, right? Then he's brought into a secure location, tied to a chair with handcuffs, being interrogated by not one, but three non-human computer programs that look human, but they're not human, right? It's probably a little hot in there because, you know, the computers don't give a shit. They don't understand what hot and cold means or how it affects the body. So you have that. And then they injected him with something. He kind of goes over what it is, but it's... anyways, it's a weird substance they injected into him. Then they have electrodes on his head, and he's being interrogated, and he probably thinks they're going to kill him. So that might be why he's sweating. And we were just sitting there mocking him relentlessly, and then we were like, well, now that you put it that way.
maybe the world needs to do shrooms together.
I think they do. I think...
I really think a lot of our... You know, we got friends that are just super tight, you know, what's the word? I'm uptight and super wound, and it's like...
I think it will help. I really do. I think, look, you can take mushrooms and just take it for the fun of it, but I think you can also take mushrooms and really help yourself with a lot of issues. And, like, it...
I don't even think you got to do shrooms. I think you can do weed and still
weed can do that, too. You can make you where you're just less judgmental. You're less... like I said, it can. I think mushrooms is better than weed at it, honestly, though. Who's calling? Here, keep talking. Let me talk to Brett.
All right. But I think, hello? You know, we just got to do...
We're on the podcast. What is it?
But I think if the world just was able to smoke pot, do shrooms, do whatever, don't do coke. Don't do anything that could kill you. That would be a, you know... Which, I'm going to go off on a weird little tangent, you know. Dare? We got to change the way we do Dare. Because I distinctly remember Dare was like, weed and heroin are the same thing. No, it's not.
You know, I can't remember who I was telling, but they were, when you tell people mushrooms, they really think like, it's this insane thing, like, who would do this? Why would someone take mushrooms? But when you kind of learn about drugs, and... I think you got to learn about by taking some of them, is that mushrooms is, I think mushrooms can help a lot of people. I really believe that. I know I sound like Joe Rogan talking about DMT, but it's one of those things you have to take. You have to take so you can really understand what I mean.
It's kind of like whenever, you've done it too, but when I fucked up and took too much of an edible one tonight and like, I'm curled up on our friend's couch, pretty much drooling on myself. Like, I'm not dying, but I'm not in the game anymore.
Yeah, it's like,
you're not talking. Paused. Yeah, you're not talking to Tim anymore. You're talking to the physical representation of Tim.
That's just my outer shell. Like, my inner self has left and hasn't. It won't be back for a little while. Leave a message.
You know? I just remember I almost had to call you, like, bro, I need you to come hold my hand. I fucked up.
Well, I figured when you said you were going to take 50, I was like, That's
well, I didn't realize it was 50.
I was like, that's a lot.
Well, after, like, yeah, because, like, I based it on, thank God I didn't take the whole thing, because I was basing it off the other time I did edibles, which was a 10, and these were hundreds, so I took half, just, like, yeah, I don't want to get that high. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, we took, like, between 75 and 90, and I know there's some people that can take hundreds of milligrams. But those people are people with high tolerances, and they're crazy. Me, I just don't. I don't smoke weed enough. Like, I really don't. Like, I think some people think I'm a pothead, and I used to be. I used to smoke all the time, but even then, I was never really a wake and bait kind of person, or anything like that. I never really bought it. I would buy some of the pens, and they would last me a long time.
Yeah.
I would say maybe. Once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks now. And even then, I'm not usually getting completely blitzed. It's been a year it's been 6 months since I've eaten edible. So I probably am one of the more temperate people you ever met. Like, there's a guy who I do jiu-jitsu. He's straight edge. And he's probably the only person that probably does less stuff than me. Like, I think most people who probably think I'm a pothead, I guarantee you that they drink more than me. Like, the last time I drank...
Probably that night y'all all went out.
No. I drank in January. But that night we drank like that. Within a calendar year, or within a year, this September 21st, I drank twice. That's it. I say I drank twice. I got really fucked up twice. And the rest of the time, I think I had one drink. And then I put it down and didn't drink anything else.
Right.
I don't really do any other kind of drugs. I don't do opiates. I don't do stimulants. Some weed every week, maybe 2 weeks. Still not heavy with that. But besides that, I really don't. There was a guy I used to train with. He may or may not have been a cop. And he just thought I was just the biggest pothead on the planet. It's like, no, I'm not. But you have to understand, it's fun to do when it's fun to do it. It's like when you drink. To me, it's like when you drink. You're just having a good time, and it's just, you're unwinding. But I think depending on what you're taking, it just it's overblown a lot of times. You know, I'm not taking meth, I'm not condoning meth, I'm not condoning heroin or any of its derivatives. I think that's one of the worst things that's kind of plagued society. And the bad thing is that opiates and the like really help a lot of people. It does. It's that double-edged sword. It's like it helps a lot of people, but it also has the side effects of what makes other people want to take it a lot. Because when I've taken, I think I took a opiate one time for fun. I took a Percocet, and it made me really sick, and I never would did it for fun again, ever. And then I've broken my ribs, broken my arm, had a few things where I had to have painkillers, and when I took them, you have a good time. It's like you feel good. It makes you feel good, so you like them. I see why people like them. Because if you're somebody in the doldrums and you're not doing well in life and you have no joy, those things instantly bring you joy.
They do.
So I see, and then, but, you know, they bring you joy, but they're also, they also attach to you and make you, you know, it's just addict you and all that stuff. So you have to be careful with it. I don't know if you can be responsible and be on opiates. I don't think you can, because I think you constantly have to take more and more. And, you know, I know doctors are pretty much the drug dealers now for the most part. And then you got to worry about getting caught with them and all this stuff. So it gets a little squirrely.
I want to say when I was a courier, a couple times we had like two different places get popped for, I don't know if it was employees writing prescriptions to themselves or they were giving out painkillers unnecessarily or something, but we had a couple of our own get shut down because they were doing it too much. And then one doctor, we always had to several ungodly amounts of urine tests. And I finally just asked, why do they send us so many urine tests? And my boss was like, because he's a pill writer. I was like, what? He was an older doctor.
Don't say his name.
I'm not. He was an older doctor. He might honestly be dead, that's how old he was. But he's an older doctor. And they didn't have the same... For them, it wasn't fucked to write painkillers prescriptions, you know. And so he basically had to show... It had something to do with... It was a way for the government to keep up with how many people and how much these people are taking. And I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, so... I don't know. I have a problem with it. You know, it's something I've realized is, you know, a lot of the, especially, I guess, suburban white world, you know, oh, people who do shrooms, people do weed, oh, these are bad people. But you go to their medicine cabinet, they got way worse shit. You know, like Cat Williams says, take 13 aspirin and see what happens. You know, go look at some of the suburban medicine cabinets, it's a drug for every hour. You know, take this when you wake up for this, take this for this. You know, you wake up, oh, you want to feel happy today? Here's this pill.
I find like things like Tylenol, they really help when I never take them. What I mean is like,
yeah,
when I'm just in a little bit of pain and it's not enough to affect my life in a negative way, I don't take them. But when I really don't feel good or it's really affecting me in a negative way, I will take them, and then they work.
Yeah,
because I'm not taking them every day. You know, doing jiu-jitsu is like my joints are just hurting all the time. I'm literally hurting all the time. But it's not enough for me to really give a shit. Like, now, yesterday, I had a problem with my hip, and it was bothering me a good bit, so I took 4 Tylenol or Advil, and it made me feel good for a couple hours. Helped me sleep. So, but ask me how many times I take them. Not much.
Right.
Not really much.
I might take it when I have a bad headache every now and then.
Yeah, when I have a headache, I tell you where they really come in handy is if you have a toothache.
Really?
Because toothaches are fucking painful.
I've never had one.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've had, I think I had gingivitis a couple times because I kept putting off my dentist appointment, and, man, that shit was painful.
Yeah.
But I ain't never had a toothache.
Had surgery. But even then, I don't know. I think people, I think people are over-medicated. It's over-medicated society. But at the same time, I think some people get lost in, they think, okay, medicine's bad. It's bad. You don't need, man, that's bullshit. You need medicine for a lot of things. And Tylenol works. And Advil works. Are there problems with taking it too much? Yeah, sure. I mean, but that's anything that you do.
I think we also got to, like, more like anything, I think we got to find that happy medium because, you know, I don't.
Keep going, I'm grabbing a Coke Zero.
Okay. And we got to find a happy medium because, you know, there's people. Antidepressants. My problem with antidepressants is, you know, yes, there are some people who just have legit chemical imbalances and they need, you know, the drugs to help the chemical imbalances. And then there's other people to me that, you know, if you're depressed because this person, you know, for whatever reason, you need to, I'm trying to figure out how to say it, but it's like there's depression that is just normal depression and you got to work through it. And then there is people with a legit chemical imbalance that need a pill to help them maintain that, you know, go back to being balanced. And I think we got to figure out, you know, I don't think people should be allowed to write a prescription for an antidepressant because somebody got dumped. It's like, that's just a natural ebb and flow in life, and you got to work. And it's hard, no doubt. You know, we've both been there to where it's like.
This is a controversial statement. Well, I don't even think that. It's just, it's not a popular thing because people just, I guess they don't want to hear it. If you look at the research, I want to say it's like people who are given prescription antidepressants. I want to say it's less than 10% are people who just have natural unbalance in their brain, their whatever's not working right. Because, and it can be from trauma, or it can be from just you're born, that's how you're born. Your brain is just kind of fucked up. Because if you look in history, a lot of people were not depressed like they are now. However, when people were depressed, people kind of noticed it. Like, if you notice, like, a lot of poets and stuff from, like, the late 1800s, they had, like, melancholy or whatever, you know, whatever the hell they would describe it as. And, like, a lot of these tortured artist souls were, they were just depressed. They had depression. And it probably wasn't because they weren't getting out and working out. Their brain wasn't working right.
Right.
But I think most people now, and even a lot of the research shows this, so you can go fact check me if you want. Call bullshit all you want. Look at Jonathan Haidt, Happiness Hypothesis and The Coddling of the American Mind. Two great books I have to recommend. He looks at most people and it's like, most people, they don't eat well. They don't do any kind of exercise. They don't go outside. They don't have hobbies. And most importantly, they have very low amounts of people that they consider their friends. So they did a study, I think it was in the 50s, and they asked, like, if you were in a bind, if you were in a true bind and you needed help from a friend, how many close friends can you call that you know would help you for sure? Like, they would be there to help you. You know what the answer was? 5+. Do you know what the answer is today for most people? 0. The most common answer is 0.
I just find that hard to believe that there are people out there with no true friends. So, I mean, I know there are, but
I think it's a combination of people don't have many friends, and people, they are maybe cynical about their friends as well. Like, well, I have, they may be this person that they know they could call, but they're like, well, he wouldn't help me. They're being cynical. But when they did the study, most, like, and I can't remember what age group it was, but they said, like, 0. There's 0 people I can call. That was the most common answer. That's the only answer. But it was a high percentage that it was so high. It was such a high percentage. People were like, this is a problem.
You think, kind of got to follow me down the rabbit hole here. But, you know, back in the 50s, life was a lot different. Life looked a lot different. You know, mom stayed.
You needed more people to help you, by the way, then.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, but mom stayed at home and raised the family. Dad went to work. And life worked like that. You know, you could get a house and a car. Well, you know, you could get the available amenities off of that. You know, and dad worked normal hours. What do you have now? If you have a two-parent home, which is a very low percentage. They still usually mom and dad are gone all the time.
Working
jobs that work long hours to where you're, and this is going to, I think there are a lot of parents who basically let their kids have the sugars, have the video games. It's a way to get them away from them. Because, I mean, you think, and this sounds shitty, but I have looked at the face of people our own age that have kids. I'm not sure they hate their kids, but you can definitely tell, like, if they didn't, like, this wasn't what they originally wanted. And we still, let's face the facts, we still live in an area of the country that is still, you got to get married, and you got to have kids, and you got to have the white picket fence life, and that's what you're supposed to do. It's not for everybody. We've talked about this. It's not for me. You know, and I've seen the look on other people's faces. It wasn't for them either, but they listened to their parents.
I think more people just got people pregnant.
I mean, that's true, too. You know, don't, you know.
That's a lot of people, but not all people. I think, okay, here's a controversial statement. I think 75% plus, I actually think it's higher than this. I think for society to run properly, you need a larger amount of society that want kids and have families, because that's stability in society. Without it, okay, the reason people that were outliers or, you know, celebrities or they were artists or is because they did things that were outside of the norm. But now everyone wants to be outside of the norm, or they think they do. So they think that this path, they somehow make it out as if having a wife and kids is this horrible thing. It's like, but when you look at the data, people who are single, and the longer that they are single and without children, the more depressed that they are, the more sad that they are, less content with their life that they are. I know people don't like to hear that because they're like, well, I just got me and my dog, and, you know, and like, okay, I'm not saying that there aren't people that are not, they don't want kids, they don't want kids, they don't need kids. They're going to be perfectly content with that, but I don't think that's most people. I think it's a smaller percentage of people that people are comfortable saying. I think you need stability in a society, and I think having the family is a stability thing that I think actually works. There's a reason why most people do it. It's not because their parents forced them to do it. I'm not saying that there isn't pressure to do it, but I think most people do it because it's natural for human beings to pair bond and have kids and raise children. It's been like that for 10,000 years, and even longer than that. But times change. People, you know, you don't think about it. You no longer need 10 children for a myriad of factor. One, you had 10 kids because you needed to work the farm. Here's another thing that people don't think about. You had 10 kids because only 3 of them survived, or 2 of them survived. Most of your children died before they were 5. 50% of your children died before they were 5 years old. And there's some people that think that parents now are actually a little bit more into their kids' lives to an extent, because people, so many kids died that you would drive yourself crazy, because if you were just so attached to your little kid and then they die, it's just, you would destroy you as a person. I don't have it personally, but I have nieces, and I'm scared for their safety. Even like, they're not even my children.
We do live in a strange world.
You know, so I'm worried about their safety. And, you know, when I see them, and when I see Riley, now Riley's becoming a little kid now, so she's not as sweet as she used to be, you know. So she's becoming a person, so, but.
I mean, look at her mom.
Yeah. But, you know, she'll roll her eyes at me, and, you know, she doesn't give me hugs anymore or anything like that. But Georgia, she looks at me and smiles and gives me the biggest hug and, like, brings me a bag of chips for me to open for her, that I open up for her. And that's just fucking great. Like, it's hard to explain. I know, but when they get older, things change. I think a lot of people they want their kid to stay 2 years old. They want them to stay that sweet little thing. They want them to stay like a dog, in a way. Like, your dog, a dog's greatest flaw and his greatest attribute is that he loves you unconditionally. And a dog is always going to love you no matter what. Unless you're a complete evil person to them, they're going to trust you no matter what. They're going to love you no matter if you're a rapist, if you're a Nobel Prize winner. They don't care. They love you. And in many ways, you're little bitty kids are kind of like that. But when they get older, they get their personalities start coming out. They start acting. You know, you can't control them anymore. You have to understand they're becoming their own person. Like, you don't have that control anymore, and you have to. I think you have to I'm not mad that Riley is like that now. I'm not. She's becoming her own person. She's not going to be the sweet little baby she was. It's just not. It's just a way of life. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think some people get attached to the dog aspect, like, oh, this thing's always going to... No, your kid is going to be pissed at you some days and can call you, you know, you bet, Dad, you're an asshole, you know, and stuff like that. But I think that's kind of part of it, though. Like, yeah. if not, then they're just your slave. I heard it best explained, not only with your children, but with, your friends or any kind of relationship. You have to love them in a way that they feel free. And what that means is, so it's going to be different for like your children. You have to love them in a way they feel free. That means is you can't control their life. You have to give them, they're going to become an adult one day. Doesn't mean your love changes. It's just like you can't just boss them around and tell them what they do when they're 30 years old, you know. But you're letting them be free. You're loving them in a way where they can be who they want to be and be who they are, right? You know, with a your friend. Sometimes, I mean, how many people have had friends that they're no longer friends with? I mean, is it really a bad thing? Is that really an evil thing? And where the love them in a way they feel free is that if there's a person and you love them as your friend and they feel better, and like if they told you, like, look, I don't hate you, but you know we're not really close anymore. You know, and I'm moving out of the. You know, I'm going to another state. I hope the best for you, or whatever.
Yeah.
Some people would take that personally, but to love someone that they feel free is that you love them enough to want them to be happy. And if it's them not being friends with you in that close capacity anymore makes them happy, that should be the goal for you. And you should, that can make you happy. Relationships, like, instead of like clinging on to old relationships, it's like, or be willing to, if they say they don't want to be with you anymore, why are you going to force them to be with you?
Right.
Because then, even if you could force them to be with you, they're not going to be happy. You're always going to know that they don't want to be around you. You can feel it. It's a drain on you.
It really is.
It's a drain on you that you know they don't want to be with you anymore. But this weird thing where, you know, all people do it, you get possessive. You love them in a way that you want to own them and control them. Whereas if you love them in a way that they feel free, then if you let them go and they're happy, then you can be happy. And then, yeah, I'm thinking there's going to be a little bit of, there's always going to be a heartbreak. There's going to be some more, some less. It's just, you've had girls that you really liked and hurt when they got gone. And you have girls that you didn't like, you liked them, but, you know, it didn't really bother you that much when they left.
Right.
So you're going to have that whole thing. And the one end is much harder to deal with than the other.
That's for sure.
You know.
But
when they leave and you find someone who wants to be with you, not only is that other person happy, but you're happy now. Because this person, you can see it, that they want to be with you. They want to be in your life. But even then, you still can't control. You love them as if they're free. Love them enough that they feel free, that they know that you won't try to control them, that you won't stifle who they are as a person.
This episode has been really dark.
That's not dark.
I know, but
I was talking about love. And about how, like, I don't know, not unnecessarily suffering. That's one thing that I've tried my damnedest in the last 5 to 10 years, is that you bring on this unhappiness a lot of times because you do it yourself.
Yeah.
You do it yourself, and you can see it when people watch news that pisses them off, when they listen to podcasts that pisses them off, when they watch YouTube videos of people that make them angry, or whatever it is. They go watch TV shows that they know that are, like, anti how they feel.
Yeah.
When it's just, one, accept that people are not going to think like you. They're not going to think like you, and they're not going to have the same values as you. They're not going to feel the same way about it. And that's a way of being, you're being free of them. Like, their opinions are no longer affecting you in that way. And two, it's just, there's 7 billion people in the world. You don't have to know them all. You don't have to know their problems. You don't have to know their political beliefs. I tell people all the time, it's like, well, you know that actor is a, I don't give a shit. I really don't care about their political beliefs. But then again, I don't care about a plumber's political beliefs either.
No.
I don't care who they are. It's like, some people, I just don't give a shit about their political beliefs.
Do the job I pay you to do.
Do the job. I don't care. At the same time, I'm not saying they can't have those opinions. They can have those opinions, right. But however they feel should not affect me. How I feel should affect me. But a lot of people just, they unnecessarily suffer. You know, whether it's breakups or whether it's people who disagree with you or that asshole you don't even know on Facebook you're getting in an argument with, and you're trying to get that zinger, you really want to get them so you can get that laugh emoji, and people are just agreeing with you. You know, you get that little bit of, but after it's over, it's like, what did you accomplish?
You get all those likes, the affirmation of your own dumbass belief. And it's like, and I see
people, or worse, people disagree with you,
right,
and call you. Like when I did that thing about bullying, and I remember the person, they filmed their kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, it's hard to tell people what I meant was. It's like, I wasn't necessarily mad that the guy made his kid walk to school because he had bullied someone or anything like that. It wasn't that. It's like, did you have to put it on YouTube or you have to put it on the internet? What are you doing that way? Yeah. One, or you're just humiliating your kid, and you're not just like teaching him a lesson that he needs to learn. You're exposing your son or daughter to billions of people and see how you are humiliated. There's no need for that. You can teach them the same lesson without doing all that.
Yeah.
But everyone got mad at me, attacked me. Everyone. Even someone unfriended me. And if I ever saw her again, I'd be like, why don't you just message me? I put a statement like that one time. I was like, if you're ever upset with anything I say, just message me and we can talk it out.
And do I know the person that unfriended you?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really talk to her that much. So, and I was kind of surprised that she took that stance because she's kind of a liberal, very liberal person. But she was talking about, like, well, you don't have kids. I was like, well, I'm just talking about in general. Like, is that a good thing? You don't. There's some things that you have to have kids to understand. There's just there's no bones about it. It's like you have to have done it to understand. But then there's things that people say is like, no, you don't have to have a kid in that situation. Like, you know when it's shitty. Like, you see someone punch their kid in the face. Like, I don't have to have a kid to know that's shitty. But if I see a parent, you know, getting up, you know, upset with their kid because their kid's doing something they shouldn't, I mean, until you have to deal with that unruly kid, it's kind of hard to, you know, make a judgment call.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was watching a sports show, and they had Trent Dilfer on, and he had gotten filmed because, I don't know the full story. I never watched the video because I didn't care that much. But it was, I don't know if he pushed it, one of his players, or he yelled extremely at one of his players and people got mad at him. And all I could think was how, because let's face the facts. Let's take spanking your kid, for instance. We got spanked. The reason you cannot spank your kid anymore is because I would say a lot of parents didn't know the line between spanking for discipline and just beating the shit out of your kid. So what happened? People got in, put in power, and now you can't even touch your kid.
Yeah.
Because parents didn't know. So, you know, now football, people's like, oh, these players are soft. You want to know why they're soft? Because y'all let coaches for too fucking long get away with fucking child abuse. You know?
Hold on a second. I'm going to fight you a little bit.
Okay.
There are some coaches that go over the top. You've seen it. I've seen it.
One of them made me quit playing.
Yeah.
I mean, now granted, there were other factors I had to take into consideration. Like, I was 90 pounds soaking wet and slow and short.
He made it not fun.
Yes.
He made it not fun. So I played at West Monroe High School. I won't get into all the coaches, but a lot of them, there are ones that I didn't like because I didn't feel like they taught me anything. And they just made me hate the fucking thing. They made me fucking hate it. And then there's some that on the outside, if you looked at how they treated me, it'd be shitty. If you just looked at it, it's like he grabbed me by the helmet and yelled in my face. But it was never, there was always some kind of love there. Like, I want you to succeed. I want you to win. That's why I'm doing this. I want you to win. And then you have the ones that are just assholes to be assholes. It's like, and you can sniff them out.
Yeah.
And you weren't there. You weren't in the high school ranks.
No.
And when you got there, like me, Brett, and Jay, we can tell you the ones that were like, they were blah, 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 you dumbass, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, fuck this dude. Fuck him.
Yeah.
This dude's an asshole. He's not a good coach.
And
then you have the guy who grabs your helmet and shakes the shit out of you, but you respect him because you're like, okay, this, he's trying to get me to get better.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do.
I have to take your word for it, but I just...
Because here's the thing, Tim. Some teenage kids are not going to fucking listen until you shake their goddamn helmet.
That's true. But I also think... So, like, in junior high, I've realized, hey, man, I suck. It doesn't matter how hard I work at this. I do not have
any... They made everyone play football. Everyone. Yeah. It needs to be people who want to play.
And I did want to play at first.
Because it's fun. Because the Wolf Bowl was fun.
And then when we got to junior high, 7th grade was still pretty fun. But when we got to 8th grade, it's like, I think the, you know, by that point, I think puberty had started taking over for everybody. And so, you know, like I said, the fact that I was short, skinny, slow, had no athletic talent whatsoever. You know, when you're in junior high, at least for us, you got put at wide receiver because there was nowhere else to put you. And I sucked at that. So
not all junior high coaches are scrubs, but there's a lot of them that are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of junior high coaches because they're trying to, there's a bunch of them that are trying to make it to the next rank, and they're just not any good at it. And the ones that are, they eventually go to something else.
Yeah. I just remember the head coach being like, you know, if you left Russell, you wouldn't be missed. Dog, do you think you'd be missed too? I mean.
Well, so that's, I don't think you need to tell that to people.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stuff that I defend because I think some people aren't seeing the big picture. But there's some things that I'm like, no, fuck that dude.
Yeah, and I remember the exact moment I decided I didn't want to be part of this anymore was when I saw the starting wide receiver on the A team. For people listening that don't know, A team are the good players. B team are the players they can't get rid of legally.
Right.
And I was on the B team. And I rode the bench on the B team, so let that be a lesson of how bad I was. But, I remember the A-team starting wide receiver hurt his finger, and the head coach is pretty much coddling him. You know, yeah. Oh, you okay? Blah, 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 blah. B-team corner got hurt, was, like, legitimately hurt. Now, not defending what the coach eventually does, but this kid was always getting hurt. He was kind of like me. He should have never been out there. He was on the ground hurt, you know, kind of laying face down. You know, he was moving, but he was kind of like, oh, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Coach just grabs him by the pads and throws him off the field. And I was like,
is this junior high?
Yes. Oh. And I was like, and I'm not saying the coach's name, even though if I saw him, if he fucks up ever and walks into the boxing gym or the kickboxing gym, I'd be like, I'm going to tell him before he ever signs the waiver, hey, man, you don't remember me, and that's cool. I'm about to beat the fuck out of you after you sign that waiver, so get ready for whatever you got.
And he kind of deserved it. He's an asshole. He was not a good coach.
Nobody liked that motherfucker.
No one likes him. You can go through
there
everyone
might be
on the plate, and you can have very few people that liked him.
You know, people might not have the same disdain for him that I do, but even when I told that story to, you know, coaches from other schools, they're like, yeah, we know who that is. He's a fucking dick.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And see, there was a coach that died that was really kind of hard on us, but...
He did it with love.
He did it with love. And that's... He did it with love. He knew when things were getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And even the head coach of West Monroe, he would sometimes go over the top and he'd, like, catch himself.
Yeah.
There are other coaches at West Monroe at my time that I was like, I don't like that dude. Fuck him. He's never going to become anything besides a low-down assistant coach.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of why I enjoyed 7th grade.
Not even
more.
A good one.
Yeah, that's why I think I enjoyed 7th grade more than 8th grade because, you know, the coach that died, he was there while we were in 7th grade.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of died early on, but he was there. And I remember, so I was late for practice one time. And, you know, you were, I'm sure it got even worse in high school, but, you know, I remember we had to, you know, if you were late, you had to go through a gauntlet. You know, he didn't want you to be late. He was trying to teach you a lesson not to be late.
Yeah.
I never learned that lesson, by the way. I'm still late to everything I fucking do, but.
You're not Kyle late.
No. I'd have to work to be that late. I'm like 5 minutes late to everything. But anyway, moving on. So he puts us through the gauntlet, and it's like six of us. Five out of the six quit. Just say fuck it and quit. I didn't. I put up with everything he did, you know, I got done because it's like the last thing was you had to bear crawl 100 yards. I got up. You know, I had blisters all over my hands. I'm looking at it. He's like, and he, you know, puts his hands on my head. You know, he rips my blisters off and tells me, you know, go get some bandages real quick. But he grabs me by the head and goes, son, I'm proud of you for not quitting. You stuck it out. You know, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it meant something.
Which coach was it?
Coach Sanderson.
Oh, Sanderson. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one that passed away. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, this sucks, but, you know, whatever. And then, you know, after, you know, and even he was, like, I think he realized there were kids out there that had no fucking talent. But he wasn't going to, you know, he was trying his best.
He's got a lot of parents on his ass, too.
Yeah.
A lot of parents of untalented kids that want, think about it, they're just untalented at football. Who gives a shit?
And there's also an unfortunate side effect to that type. It doesn't matter if the coach makes fucking players good men. What matters is the win and loss record.
Yeah, and I think the good coaches have to do kind of both.
Yeah.
So, look, high school football was never going to be as fun as WFBA.
No.
Because at the end of the day, there has to be more organization. It's more organized. It's more you have to be more disciplined to do well at it. When you're – look, in your WFBA, it's like you have 10 plays, maybe 8 at maximum, and it's literally like – you know,
here's how
four runs to the right, 4 runs to the left, you know, some, and they get, you know, some inside, some out, some further out. And every now and then,
there's a pass.
There's a pass. It gets squirrely and throw a pass. And you're like, you know, everyone.
You watch
like,
that.
But,
here's how disorganized WFBA was. I had to play line a few times, offensive line. My little ass that maybe weighed 50 pounds in elementary, I had to play line. Because I remember we played a school called Riser. And I looked across the fucking line, and some of these dudes had fucking facial hair. And I was like,
somebody with a mustache. I was like, I thought my dad was the only one with a mustache.
But, you know, WFBA was fun. And junior high was fun up until it got not fun. And I was like, I don't. Because I remember, because I originally was going to play in high school. So, like, I had done everything to play in high school. Senior year. Not senior year. Freshman year. But I could never make the workouts. Because, I mean, the workouts were at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have anybody that could come and get me and take me up there. You know, and I didn't feel right asking people to come and get me. So, I was never able to make it. So, first day of, and I remember it's getting real close. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to play football anymore. She's like, why? I was like, I don't want to go to practice 3 hours a day, get yelled at and told how bad I suck just so I can go to the game and ride the fucking bench.
Even I saw, look, I loved football. So I liked to do all the play. When you like it, you'll deal with more of the bullshit. But even I remember there was a guy, he actually, rest in peace, he passed away. I looked at him, he was a big guy, big. But he was not very in shape, but he was just a big guy. Yeah. And in junior high, that's all you needed.
He still went through hell.
He did not have it. He didn't have what it took. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he was great at music. That's what he should have been from the very beginning. He should have never played football because it was not for him.
Yeah.
There was another guy named Jimmy that I just remember. He was a big athletic guy, strong guy. But he wanted to play in the band. He wanted to play French horn. And he should have been allowed to just – that's he should never have gone there. He should have been playing French horn from start to finish because that's how he's going to express himself. That's how he's going to be happy. Doing – finding something – because I guarantee you band was – you think football is the only place where you have coaches or mentors that are assholes to you? You don't think band was the same way? That there were band, like, leaders and whatever that were just complete fucking dicks and just hard on you? I know it's easy to throw the
athletics
at the athletics, but it's in sport. It's in band too. It's in choir. It's in all of those things.
Oh yeah,
you know. And even then, they probably have like, okay, this guy's being an asshole, but he's teaching me something. Mm. Versus this guy's just a fucking dick. Fuck him. He's not helping me at all.
Anytime your paycheck depends on your performance and how you know other things go down, you're gonna have some assholes.
Yeah, you have people who are unqualified.
Yeah.
Some people are just good at coaching. Some people are good at teaching. Some people are not.
Yeah.
Some people, the problem are the ones who think they're good, but they're not. Those are the ones that are really bad. Because they just make you hate it. There's probably a lot of people that love football that sometimes at West Monroe it could get a little too much. sometimes it was like, what the this is fuck this bullshit.
Yeah.
But most of us were, you know, cognizant enough to be like, yeah, we just let it roll off because we knew it was horseshit. You know, I talked to a friend of mine a lot of times when we were fishing, telling him about, like, no one wants to hear this, but it's the truth. Sometimes people get the play because of who their dad is or who their parents are or what.
You can't, like, you're swinging around in your chair. And
oh,
it
my
changes.
Bad. Who their parents are, how much they're giving to the Rebel Club. Those things fucking happen. There's people who did not deserve things that got them. But then as I got older, I realized that's just fucking life.
No doubt.
There's life. That's I mean, it's unfair. It's not right. But it's not just sports.
No.
It's everything else. But but I always hated saying, like, well, if you want to play more, then you got to work harder and be. That was right a lot of times. It was right a lot of times. Sometimes you were just undeniable how good you were.
Yeah.
But if you were really good, or if you were good and there was somebody who was not cool, he was almost as good. But his daddy gave a little money to the Rebel Club. He got to play a little bit. And people will call bullshit on that, but it's the fucking truth.
I'm sure. Yeah, but I don't know. I was glad y'all won senior year, but and I'm probably going to have to go to a Rebel game within the next couple of years, but, you know, I told my boss, my boss's son he's like 14, but he's like 6'2", 6'3", you know, 2-something. I mean, he's one of those kids that, you know, hopefully he has the tools to be good if he's just good, you know. But he's a sophomore, but he gets to dress and – You can explain this better because I don't quite understand it. He gets to dress for varsity, but the likelihood he gets to play is slim to none. And it's not that he's bad, but it's just, you know, he'd probably be starting on the JV team, but he's riding the bench on the varsity type deal because he got called up. So but I told him, it was like, hey, man, you actually start a game. Probably won't happen this year, but you start on Friday night, my ass will come. But he was explaining to me they have packages. So, like, there might be three different starters. And he was explaining it. I was like, okay, let me rephrase this. The first offensive possession, if y'all ass is out there, if you tell me, hey, I'm going to get to be out there the first offensive possession, I will come to that game. I'm going to quickly dip out after that possession. But, you know, I will come. But it's just, you know. It's weird because some people, and my boss was talking about it to me. He goes, you know, my son, you know, somebody, you know, coach gets in his face saying he ain't working hard enough and lifting heavy. He gets mad and wants to lift heavier to, you know, be like, you know, whatever. A coach comes and gets in your face and yells at you saying you ain't lifting heavier. You know, you ain't lifting, you know, you ain't giving your hardest. You're going to be like, well, fuck you and go even easier because that's just your personality, you know. You can't talk to you the same way you can talk to him.
I was always like, fuck you, I can do it. Like, that's the way I always was. Like, I hated, like, people saying, like, I couldn't do something, so I wanted to do it, and out of spite, I'm like, fuck you, I can do it.
I've never been that way. I'm like, oh, you can't do it. Okay.
I don't think it's good for sometimes, Tim. I think sometimes you got to be like, fuck that person, like, fuck you. It has to come from
it. It also depends on what it is.
It's more sweet that way because you can, like, fuck them, fuck you. Especially when they really don't think you can do it. When they really think you can't do it and you prove them wrong. Oh, God.
You also got to remember, what is it that we're talking about? Because if somebody comes to me, oh, you can't bench 400 pounds.
Well, I mean, I can't bench 400 pounds.
Well, I mean,
I did 315 this week, and that's about it.
Oh, shit. I don't know if I could even bench 150 right now, but it's like, oh, you can't bench.
It's because they're not really invested in you. They're not. They're just saying it. There's no meaning to what they're saying. They're just saying it to say it, as opposed to somebody who's either A, saying it because they're trying to get you to get better, or they don't really believe you at all. But somebody who should, you can tell. You can tell when somebody's just saying it because that's what they think is the right thing to say. I saw with junior high coaches all the time. You gotta do it. Yeah, it's like, okay, but would you care if I could?
It's like I've had hair on my balls for like 2 seconds, bro. Now, with that being said, you know me. I'm not super competitive. But that day you and me had our sparring session, I was like, you know what? I know what's going to happen if we go to the ground. I'm going to get my fucking ass beat. But goddamn it, standing on our feet, even though you got about 60 pounds on me, I ain't going to give a fuck. I'm coming.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that, like, I want to do. Like, I want to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And I know there's probably plenty of people that think, there's no way in fuck he'll get a black belt. There's no way he doesn't have one.
I mean, I don't know why they feel that way. I mean,
just sometimes people's egos, people feel like, and you know what? Maybe right now they're right. Maybe right now I haven't made the right adjustments. I haven't worked on the things that I have. But I think that I will do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean.
But they think that they may think that I'll never get the, you know, be able to get the hang of it. Now, I think it's less now than it used to be. But, like, I think I will. And also, it's going to be a much harder road. And I know that I'm a white belt at best, but I want to get a black belt in judo too.
Yeah.
I've been working hard. Like, I've committed myself to doing it. Like, I study it as best I can without having a real, like, I have a teacher, but I never get to see him often. So when I go there, I try to get as much information out of him as I can. And then I use videos, instructional videos, but you have to learn a fact about when it comes to instruction or when it comes to videos in general. You don't get on there and watch the best knockouts.
No.
You don't get on there and watch the hardest leg kicks. You don't get on there and watch the best epons. You don't get on there and watch the best submissions. You get there and you watch proper bringing your hand back when you throw a punch. One, two, three. Proper ways to throw a punch. Proper ways to move your feet. Proper ways to move your head. Proper ways to turn your hips over. Proper ways to aim when you kick. Proper ways to set up kicks. Proper ways to get people off balance. Proper ways to make entrances. Proper ways to finish your throws. Proper way to set up certain submissions. Proper ways to get in the position to be able to pull off a submission. Those aren't the fun videos to watch. But those are the ones that can actually help you, that you can actually use.
See, you know what's funny is, like, I actually enjoy watching those videos more. I mean, yeah, who doesn't like watching, you know, some unqualified person getting, you know, actually, I enjoy it, but I don't either because I'm like, because I, you know, I've been in the game long. I say I've been in the game. I was in the game long enough to understand what some of these things were because sometimes you're at the mercy of a promoter. You're at the mercy of a card maker. And you've probably seen this too, you know, but, you know, maybe not really paying attention to it too much. It always seemed like on every show that I was ever at or a part of, it always seemed like there was one sacrificial lamb that was a mismatch to give the crowd that big fucking
knock.
Yeah, I was it a couple times too. Don't think I wasn't, you know, until, you know, my trainer got hired on by the company to work for him, and then I stopped, you know, and he was the matchmaker. Then I stopped being,
the cannon fodder.
I stopped being a cannon fodder, and like I said, he even apologized to me one time because I got my ass beat so bad. Because I was in there with someone that I should not have been in there with.
I see that happen a lot.
Yeah. And I get mad. There are coaches that do not take care of their fighters.
No, they don't give a shit.
And I've started seeing it more and more. And I'm like, what is your qualification to be doing what you're doing? Because the best I can see, I'm more qualified than you. And it bothers the shit out of me because people will get, you know, the likelihood somebody dies doing MMA, slim to none. I mean, it happens, but it's very, you know, combat sports in general, it's very rarely that people are going to die. Might end up with some long-term damage, but that's my problem is if your coach is not really that good, he doesn't know how to protect you. He just doesn't know. And it's like, okay, man, you shouldn't be doing this. Because your job as a coach is to protect your fighters.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, I don't give a shit how good you are at whatever you train. If you can't protect your fighters, you shouldn't be doing it. I'm not saying you still shouldn't coach them to do this, this, and this, but, you know, don't pretend like you're a coach. You know, don't be cornering your guys. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Anyways. Anyways, that's weird, but.
Now, was that one long rant?
I don't know. I was kind of wondering that myself. How did we get on all that? Because we went from talking about your shroom trip to somehow talking about West Monroe football and how you loved it and I couldn't fucking stand it.
I loved it with a caveat.
Okay, fair enough. I will say this.
I hated all the bullshit. I really didn't. I love the games. I love the games. I love playing.
I will say this, though.
But everything else can suck a dick.
I didn't. There was only, like, all of y'all that I knew that were playing senior year, y'all all said the same thing. Y'all sad it's over? Man, I couldn't get my pads back in fast enough.
I was sad that the games were over, but practice, doing all the media stuff, like, fuck all that stuff.
Did you ever have to get interviewed by the media?
Yeah, I did it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, we all had to do it.
Where was I for this?
Everyone had to have videos and stuff. We had to go on video and talk and go to the TV station and do a video on the Rebel Show. Oh yeah, I was on the Rebel Show.
I did not know this.
Two or three times, yeah.
I was a beer drinking pothead fucking senior year. I got out of class and I was like, oh. You know, it's funny though, because like I really wish in a way I'd have had more discipline because, you know, I thought I was gonna be this big rock star, and I wasn't very good at guitar. Like, I am leaps and bounds better now than I was way back then, obviously, because I worked harder. I work harder now, and I understand my instrument a lot better. But it's like, I wish somebody would have been on top of me with that discipline to be like, man, why are you not doing this? Like, I should have been back there practicing, you know. Because now, I mean, I didn't play guitar yesterday, and I hadn't played today because it's my schedule. And I am super bummed out about that. You've seen my videos that I do, and these videos are stupid. But basically what it is making me make sure I play.
It's making you accountable.
Yeah.
That's what coaches are supposed to do. Yeah. They're supposed to make you accountable.
My damn Deftone song sounded on point, too. Like, it was accurate as fuck.
Well, it's kind of one thing is like when I first started doing the teaching judo on Tuesdays, is that I was just like making shit up. It was just like stuff that I knew I did and I knew how to do it right. I'd be like, you know, I'm just tired. I couldn't really sleep probably at that time. And I'd be like, well, let's do this. Let's do this move. So we'd go through the move. But I think you could tell that I was winging it. But now, and I know it seems silly, I have a book with me. I bring it with me. But it's what I'm going over that day, what I'm going to teach. Okay? So one, it shows to me that I'm actually committed to it. And it shows the people that I'm teaching that I'm committed to it and trying, like, and it's not just because I have a book and it looks proper. It's that if you go in the book, there's stuff in it written down. And it's like, okay, he's really making an effort to actually learn it himself and to teach people the best he can with the limited amount of knowledge from a proper instructor that I have. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the best with what I can with the guy that I do see and the instructionals that I know and the stuff that I don't show them anything that I don't do. If I do not do them, I don't do them. Every move that I show, I do. And I think I finally have got. It went to be like, yeah, there's Ferris. It's not that I was bullshitting them. It's just that, you could tell that it was just winging it, and that I didn't have a structure to it, and that I didn't really know how to teach yet. I'm not saying that I know how to teach great yet, but you can tell that. It's much different than when I first started doing it over a year ago. You know, I'm actually putting time. I'm actually writing out like over a month in advance of what I'm going to be doing. You know,
teaching is hard, and especially if you're in a situation where you have a lot of students because you just can't stand. You know, like when I taught the kickboxing class that day at your gym. You know, what was that? That was just a situation where the guy who was supposed to be in charge wasn't able to get there.
Yeah,
it was you, me, and another dude. Well. Out of the three of us, who has the most stand-up experience? Me.
Yeah.
But I didn't go, especially knowing that he's new. You know, you're not new, but you're not some, you know, stand-up expert, you know. We're just going to go over the fucking basics, and I'm going to make sure that the jab, right hand, whatever, leg kick, you know, I'm going to make sure that is pounded into y'all's head, because, I mean, that's going to be what your combo is most time anyway.
Yeah.
You know. You need to be able to do that without thinking, you know. It's probably like, you know, I'm sure there's something on the, you know, passing guard. You don't need to think about that. That just needs
it just happens.
Yeah.
Someone moves a certain way, and you don't even think about it. You instinctively know that this is what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, like when I countered your punch with a kick, I didn't think about it. I just did it. And then on the ground. Now, you kind of had it easy.
Well, I passed the guard, and then I saw your near arm, crucifixed that arm, and then went to,
I've never felt so helpless in my life as I did right now. And I was like, I don't know shit about what to do right now.
Especially with someone, if someone puts you in a crucifix, and I'm am the crucifix, like, king. I love putting people in crucifix, and I can tell when I put people in crucifixes, they're like, God damn, this motherfucker put me in a crucifix all the time.
I kept looking at Chris, too, like, hey, man, can I get a little help here on the ground? Like,
talk to me a little bit?
Like, I mean, just a hint, man. I might can figure out the rest in there, but, like, I am an exposed.
It's you need at least a year to be able to figure it. Like, I mean, there's people that are blue belts, that are good blue belts, that I do that to. And they know it's coming, but it's still hard for me to do it to them. It's not easy, but it used to be a lot easier. It used to be I just put people in crucifixes and that was the end game, but now they know how to deal with it.
Yeah,
they know how to work at it, but then I changed it up on them. It's like, okay, you knew how I went to crucifix. Now they get a little frustrated because I put them in a crucifix from things they didn't see coming.
Right.
But now they're starting to see those things coming. It's just it never ends, It's a never-ending thing, but you have to have it done to you, for you to figure stuff. You can't. It's like anything. You don't learn jiu-jitsu by not doing jiu-jitsu. You have to do it. Without. It's easy to look like, oh, I could get out of that. Could you really? You think? There was one guy. Remember when we watched the McGregor fight? He was saying things that were like.
Then he owned up to having never been in a fight.
Never even trained before. Never done any kind of, never boxed, never kickboxed, never did jiu-jitsu, never did judo, never wrestled.
Yeah, I think he's, because I remember him even, because it was on my birthday, and I was drunk. And I remember he goes, I just don't think being leg kicked would hurt. And I just remember, I had a moment of clarity, and the drunkenness was like, why don't you let me do it to you real quick and see if it hurts.
I think you were hard. But you know what? I think he's right in the sense that sometimes you could get leg kicked and you don't think nothing of it. But you get kicked about 12 times in the same spot.
You don't think something of it.
You're gonna, like, yeah, some people can just kick you once and like, I'm not going to get kicked again. Then some people, they just kick you there. They kick you again. They kick you again. They kick you again. And it's just like it starts building up and you're like, that almost hurts worse than somebody kicking you one time.
Yeah.
Because it's that pain is not going away. Like sometimes there's big kicks that that hurt and you go back to it. But sometimes those kicks that are building up you get to the eighth kick and you're like, fuck that, because it's not going back to baseline where it doesn't hurt anymore. Mm. It hurts the whole time. And you have to start changing stances.
Jose Aldo versus Uriah Faber was like, that was the worst. Anyways. How much time we got left?
We have 7 minutes.
You know what this weekend is, Ferris?
What's this weekend?
College football.
College football, ULM.
ULM plays Kentucky at 11 o'clock this Saturday. I'm hoping.
I still don't think they're ready yet.
Not this year. And I was talking about this with a friend. So the university, for once, has made, in my opinion, made great strides to try to get behind the program.
You know what I noticed?
What?
Is that I thought that happened a few times, but what this new coaching staff made me realize is that we never have.
This whole new administration, too, because remember, it's new president, it's new everything. It is. Yeah. And I remember the interview, the new president coming in said, he's like, you look at all these programs that started winning, their merchandise sales went up, their enrollment went up, everything goes up. People want to be part of a winner. So when you don't win, it's hard to convince people to, hey, and we went 0-10, whatever our record was, we were 0-whatever. We never once held a lead last year.
Not once?
Not once. Point of fact, I want to say the head coach quit halfway through a game at one point. Not quit, but like just said, screw it, I'm not calling plays anymore. That dude I remember, like, they showed his face on camera at one time, and that dude just looked like he wanted to get the fuck out of there. He wanted to get the fuck out of Dodge. And I will say this, though. The one thing that the new head coach has said that I've never heard anybody other coach say, you know, all the normal coaches gave the same, but he said something. He's like, you know, when I hire a coaching staff this time, I want to hire guys I can't afford in a couple years. You know, he said things differently. I'm like, and the university seems to be getting behind it. And it's like, okay. And my biggest fear is, you know, you're not going to see results this season, more than likely. Now, the good news is we went 0 and whatever. So, I mean, anything is better. But
right,
we're not going to go from 0 and whatever to, you know, undefeated. It's just not going to happen. So, but my hope is that, you know, the university will stay getting behind the program. That way, maybe we can just be somewhat competitive.
Yeah.
You know, we've never once won the Sun Belt. We've only gone to, we've only had one winning season.
We won the Sun Belt 5-7, and it was a 3-way tie. Yeah.
And all we had to do
talking
was
about a low bar.
And all we had to do was make the extra point too, because I was at that.
And
game.
We, even the year we went 8-4, we didn't.
We didn't officially qualify for a bowl game that year. No.
No, we said we still didn't win the Sun Belt either.
No, because that was the year the Sun Belt balled out too.
Yeah.
Because I will say it was either Arkansas State or Lafayette that won. I just want to beat Lafayette again, man.
When was the last time we beat them?
It's been a while. We were there. We were in college, so, man. They've just... No, I think maybe we... So, it's a weird... It's weird how it works for us. The years we've always had to beat ULL to go to a bowl game, can't do it. But, like, when we're, like, one and whatever, and we're just playing for... You know, we're just finishing out the fucking season.
Was it a field goal we missed that won the game we went to, and we were like... Was it a field goal or was it extra point?
I don't remember, but we were like, what the fuck?
It was so close, we were like, I think it was an extra point.
I think it was, because you looked at me and go, did he miss that? And I was like, yeah, he did. Yep, that's the season. We just like, we weren't surprised, and we were like, oh. Because, I mean, goddamn, too, we got to deal with all those people from ULL every time we lose to them up here, because they travel better than we home, and it's just like... Just once, man. Can we beat? Because, I mean, Lafayette, I mean, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Lafayette and Monroe used to be neck and neck.
Not anymore. They've surpassed us.
They've surpassed us by leaps and bounds.
They've surpassed us. Texas surpassed us, and it's because of our culture is shitty.
No, I'm in the city, but you're
well, that too.
You're correct on that, too. But people want to be a part of a winner, and we are not winners.
You know, I think. People in LSU or people in Lafayette, I think they like LSU, but I think they get behind their team more. Here, we're all LSU. We're all...
Tech.
You know what I noticed is that for the longest time, Tech always had more billboards and more things in Monroe, in West Monroe, than we did. But now I see a lot of ULMs, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if it, you know, West Monroe is a little sketch, but Monroe, Tech should not be allowed to put up boards. I mean, I'm not saying there's.
I don't think they shouldn't be allowed, but you shouldn't notice that. You should be like, oh, that's that one Tech thing, as opposed to like the 12 ULM things. You got to get the people in the stands, and I hate to say this, but you got to win. When that year we went played Baylor, was it Baylor?
No, we didn't. They came here and played.
Yeah,
but
they came
we
here.
Packed that bitch out at like. 35,000.
Think about that. Think about that. That's how you got to do it. But you have to win. You have to win. And you have to be consistent. You have to consistently win.
Yeah. And you got then after you do that, though, you got to get guys to the NFL. That's what Saban is. That's what Saban is Saban. People know he's a dick. But what does he do? He wins. And what else does he do? He gets guys drafted number one overall.
Multiple times.
Shit. What was that one year? That Alabama came to LSU, I think it was back in 11 or 12. Just about everybody that was a starter on both of those teams ended up getting undrafted, like first or second round.
Yeah. It was an unreal team.
I think they made a documentary on it basically called The Day the NFL Took the Field in Tuscaloosa or something. Because it had Beckham and Jarvis and, you know.
Oh, that was 2011. It was the year that LSU won the first game and then – Alabama won the second one. They won the championship game.
Yeah.
Like,
That was a boring.
Those games were fucking, or both those teams were fucking unreal.
They were damn near pro teams.
Like, 2 years ago, when LSU had that great team, they had some great talent on there. They did. And most of those people went to the NFL. But if you look at the 2011 Alabama and LSU, I mean, have you ever seen a more star-studded? And then they were still good the next year.
The only team, I will say, that year Miami won the championship back in 2000.
That was a great team, too.
That was a fucking great team. A lot of those guys ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, you have Hall of Fame players. You'll have to see what the 2 years ago LSU, you know, team will do, yeah. You know, what they do in the NFL.
But I mean, that USC team that year, too, with Reggie Bush out there. Man, they fucked him, but damn. They were good. But anyway, ULM, so the actual over or under on them this year is 2.5, so I was thinking about betting it. I think we at least win 3. Because this year we have a slightly different schedule, too. Like, we play Kentucky this week, but the week after, which is our first home game, which we need to try to go to.
Okay.
We can't sit here and talk shit about you need to go to the game and then sit our asses at the house. 7 o'clock on a Saturday. We live in Monroe. It's not like there's a fuck ton going on.
Right.
It's a shitty D2 school. So it's basically trying to buy us a win. We need to go.
Well, excuse me.
Provided I'm not working and, you know.
We'll try, but here's the thing. We're at time. We got to go because we're actually over, we're almost over 2 minutes.
All right.
And next Thursday, we will for sure be back. Maybe something this weekend. Maybe. No promises.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anything else, Tim?
No.
No? Nothing else? All right. Well, we are done. See you later.